Hi, I'm Britt.
And I'm Steph.
And this is Rise of the Glup Shitto.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Rise of the Glup Shitto, a podcast where two Star Wars fans research and discuss the origin and history of some of Star Wars' most obscure... I thought it sounded like I said moist.
Some of the moist characters. I mean,
characters.
Some of them are moist.
Some of them are moist. All right, let's get into it.
Okay. Beep, 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 Glup Shitto news. That's the song now. Get ready to hear that every episode, unless I forget it.
It's always like slightly yeah. different because you kind of don't remember the yep. melody very well. Yep. All right,
news time. So it's the 25th anniversary of Phantom Menace. It's going to be showing in select theaters across the U.S. Where are you going to see it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I'm seeing it on May 4th, though. So, I mean, this is also in our news, but May 4th is like a marathon, but I'm not crazy enough to watch. I was thinking about it,
but I couldn't find the tickets, or I'm guessing they must have just sold out immediately because.
Oh, my gosh. I still see tickets for it, but I don't know if that's California as opposed to where you are, but. They're also doing it at, so the El Capitan is showing costumes from the Phantom Menace, and they're also doing the marathon. Those seats are so uncomfortable yeah. at the El Capitan Theater. I don't know how anyone could spend 9 movies
People
in there.
People can bring their own, but, like, chairs.
It's crazy to me, but that one I think is, like, 145, so if you're brave enough to do it, go do it. But yeah, we're just seeing the Phantom Menace. On May 4th, so we're doing like a May 4th day.
That's so cool. Yeah, there's I'm on the East Coast. I don't know if people realize that I'm on the East Coast. this is why we do this virtually, and
it takes us a while to get synced up with our. Why there's so much time between episodes, guys? It is hard to coordinate.
Sorry, it's mostly me. I'm the problem.
She is.
I really am. Steph is doing a lot of heavy lifting, and I'm just like, oh shit, you want to do it now?
That is not true. That is not true. Brittany does all the edits. Okay,
which
let's
also
just, let's. That's pretty
takes
hard.
Me forever. But yeah, the one theater near us was doing it, but I like the theater didn't. The website for the theater, I forget what kind of theater it was. Didn't mention it, and then I found something that said the tickets were sold on Fandango, and then like I still couldn't get to anything, so I'm guessing they must have sold out at that theater, but it's probably because yeah, it starts like May 3rd at I forget like 8 p.m. or something, and then like ends on May 4th at 4 p.m. or something like that, so I don't know.
I can't. I'll fall asleep. Yeah. I can't. It would be horrible yeah. for me. Obviously, you're probably wondering, like, why are we talking about the Phantom Menace on a Glup Shitto podcast? But there are tons of Glup Shittos in everything. So my favorite from Phantom Menace is Yaddle. Yeah. I love Yaddle so much. And when she came out in Tales of the Jedi, I lost it. I lost it. I love her. I love her, like, golden girl's hair. I love it.
Yeah, I'm going Ruse. Ruse Tarpals.
Yeah. I love all the Gungans.
I like all the Gungans.
And I am a Jar Jar apologist, so if you're not a fan of Jar Jar, get out. No, don't get out. You don't have to get out. I'm just saying, maybe, like, reconsider.
I'm surprised, maybe I'm not surprised Disney hasn't done, like, a set of ears where it's just, like, his eyes on the stalks and then, like...
Because everybody hates Jar Jar Binks. I feel like he's getting more love now because, especially because Ahmed Best, who plays Jar Jar, came back for to be in The Mandalorian, and I feel like things that everybody hated at once are now getting better recognition, or the people who loved him always are a lot louder than the people who
Yeah,
hate,
no, which is
right?
great. Jar Jar
I
love.
know, I'm all for it. Okay, and then also, this is exciting for me because I love stickers. We had stickers made for the podcast, and please, please follow us on at Rise of Glupshadow on Instagram because I did a little giveaway, and I'm going to be sending out 20 free stickers to people. So I'm going to try to do more of those giveaways. Please follow us. And then the last bit of news, as I was researching for this episode, I was looking at a lot of behind the scenes footage of Ula. I mean, look, I can't possibly watch everything I thought I did, but apparently I didn't. And there's behind the scenes footage of Max Rebo from like the full side, and it totally looks like he has a mouth under his
Straight up mouth
trunk.
trunk.
Straight up mouth trunk. And I watched it like 20 times and I was just like, how have I never
It's
seen
just like a little
this?
tiny mouth, too.
It's really tiny. And at first I thought maybe it was like a
Right.
fold because he has like kind of lots of folds, but it's definitely a
No, that's a
mouth,
mouth.
man.
You sent me the photo and I can confirm.
We will post the picture because I think everyone has to see it
Yeah,
now.
they do.
I was
Hopefully, we'll
tripping.
also find out with the skeleton crew. We'll get final answers.
Oh yeah. I looked at that picture though. I caved and I looked at that picture where it shows him in shows the Ortolan in the background. He totally has four legs, four limbs. I mean, I think he does. Four limbs. I know. I'm so sad.
Well,
I don't know. Maybe they'll explain it away. Maybe he's
yeah,
like a
he's a little
hybrid.
freak.
Whoa. So speciesist.
Humans doing it with Ortolans, creating little four-legged monstrosities. Where are all the suction cups?
All right, do we have some
We have a
reviews?
review, so keep on writing us those reviews, please, because they make us feel
Please.
better.
We're really worried
I'm so
sometimes.
worried. Okay, this review comes from RockerDude1000, but seriously. Stephanie and Brittany are brilliantly witty and absolutely hilarious. This podcast is worth listening to for every Star Wars fan. The hosts do their homework on characters you know and love, but often overlook, and literally no one else talks about. They deep dive into expanded lore, the mind of George Lucas, ILM puppeteers, artists to bring you a jam-packed party for your ears. Keep up the amazing art.
Oh,
You. I'm sure they're talking about yours, not my
I'm pretty
please.
sure it's you. Look at, listen, listen. Anyone who calls me brilliantly witty and absolutely hilarious, number one in my book, please write some more.
This is what we needed.
We needed this one. Yeah, so please, please write us a review. Give us 5 stars if you like it. If you don't like it, you don't have to write anything. You can just keep that to yourself. You can just, go on your merry way. I wanted to give a shout out to this Sneaky Geek podcast. We met Brian and Bryce at WonderCon. And they were so nice. And I was talking to them about podcasting, and they gave me so much information that I promptly forgot because I was intoxicated. So, Brian and Bryce, please tell me again. They asked, hopefully, one time one or both of us will make a guest appearance on their podcast. And then we might reciprocate when we feel comfortable enough to have guests on here. We have our shit together
One day.
one day. And anyways, shout out to them and go check out their podcast.
Sweet. Okay, well, what we've all been waiting for. The ladies.
The ladies of Jabba's
We're
palace.
gonna get in to all the different ladies. We're doing this episode a little different. So usually, like, I just do the actor puppeteering and Step handles all the lore and actual character stuff. But since we're gonna combine all the ladies, we're just splitting up lady by lady.
We have five. We're doing Yharnam Dalgargan, Greata Jhendawanian, Lin May, Crystal Sant, and Ula. So those are the ones that we're going to focus on in this
So
episode.
I'm gonna start it off with the lovely Yharnam Dalgargan. She's a beautiful six-breasted humanoid species. You might remember her from Dancing with Ula.
I think all you have to say is that she's a six-breasted dancer.
People
And then everybody
are
knows.
like, ah, yes, her.
Ah, yes, her.
So her species is Asclean, which is a sentient humanoid species, like I just said. Her homeworld is Aska G, which is another desert planet on my favorite thing, the Outer Rim. I'm sorry. We're going full descriptions on her too. So I got her height and a description because, like, we're really just filling information out. She's 1.5 meters, which is approximately 5 feet for us Americans. And according to Wikipedia, has generous six-breasted chest.
Quote unquote.
Ever described anyone's?
Anyone's chest as being
Yeah,
generous?
it's not like, oh yeah, you know my friend Steph, she's the generous-chested lady over there.
You know, I don't mind that, although no men can say that to me.
Only a lady talk thing.
The lady talk thing, but I kind of like the generous chest. I like it.
So since they're in a desert planet, they are capable of storing water in their body for a long period of time. And when they're storing this water, the species appears
Like a sponge?
That I'm sure. I'll talk a little bit more when we get a little deeper into her
Wow.
backstories.
I'm sorry. I hope you do because I have lots of
So
questions.
the only other like side bit I found about their species and homeworld is that they're just known for really weaving a lot of sturdy fabrics. So back to like our last episode with the shorts and me being like, I don't think they make shorts in the desert. Like, I don't see how they could use cloth. Well, apparently I lied because this other desert planet,
You're
I don't
wrong.
know what still the freak they're making.
You know what? Sometimes this doesn't make sense, and they just tell us something, and we just have to be like,
Okay,
okay.
fine. But yeah, so they make a really sturdy, and like the description in the story I listened to, they were like, oh, a very soft, sturdy fabric that royalty like to wear. And I was like, oh, okay. Oh,
What? On this like
on this
desert
desert
planet
planet. So
with these water fat
yeah.
people?
These camel-like people.
It must be stretchy because if they
I know
like.
it has to. It's gotta be like.
Okay, sorry. I'm getting ahead of myself. I have questions. Oh my
So yeah,
God.
let's just continue on with her backstory. I got most of this information from the Star Wars Tales from Jabba's Palace. This story was called Skin Deep, A Fat Dancer's Tale
This is
by
so bad.
A.C. Crispin in 1995. So what they talk, they pretty much just talk about what happened her before, middle, and after, which they did a really good job. I found the audio book of it on YouTube. I'm not really a fan of the person who was voicing it.
It's hard to find good audiobook voice
Yeah.
people. No shade to them, but you know, some people like certain people's
This is just
voices
like a
and
personal preference. This was a really like, kind of emotional story, and I would have much rather heard it from a female voice. So pretty much a long story short of her whole thing. It was like an hour and 40 minutes of listening to it. Again, it was a good story, but not my favorite voice narrator. So her father was a chief of a tribe on her home planet, and she was known for her dancing for the honor of her tribe. She married another one of her species, and his name was Noctog.
Do the men have six breasts?
That I don't know. They did not go into those details. I could only. It's
Imagine.
only fair.
What if instead of
no.
milk,
I...
you gotta have six of something?
No, that doesn't even make sense. So, I mean, her six breasts make sense for the next thing I'm gonna say is she had four cublings.
Listen, Star Wars doesn't have to make sense. Can you just like let me have this one?
Okay.
It makes me giggle.
That's fair. I'm sorry. So yeah, she had four cublings, and her whole family was captured by enslavers during a raid, and unfortunately, one of her cubs died in the process. The whole family was brought back to Jabba's palace for inspection, and then her husband kind of tried to be mean to Jabba. And so yeah, bad
Ooh.
idea, and Jabba fed him to the Rancor. That was really traumatic. Her kids were then like taken away to somewhere else. She wasn't technically a slave to Jabba. I found this little detail really interesting. She was never a slave to Jabba, but had a contract that said she could one day buy her freedom, or she would be free if Jabba died. And that's only if like she didn't kill Jabba. Like that was the little like, you can't kill me. And you're fucked. And Jabba made contracts like this so it would make his performers work harder. So give him like more motivation, which I'm like, that's smart and kind of fucked up. But
So I don't understand. She wasn't a slave, but she had to buy
yeah,
her
so she
freedom.
was still contracted.
So she was a slave, but they just didn't
Right,
call
but it
her
gave her
that.
hope that she
Oh,
could,
I
like, she
see.
was earning some wages so that hopefully one day she could
Got it.
kind of work off her debt, I guess.
And I'm guessing he used her children as like motivation
Yeah.
for her because he had them hidden
He
or
didn't have
something.
the children, though. He did, I think, sell them to like someone else.
Oh, you know, all these stories are
I
quite
know.
sad. So
Yeah.
just be
Right.
ready.
So, yeah, she had at least worked for Jabba's palace for 1 year, and Jabba actually considered her to be his favorite performer. So much so that he forced her to wear wart makeup and a headdress that made her look like his mother. So she
Wow.
has these like warty warts on her and this really crazy makeup. If you guys need to look at a photo of her again, she is bonkers looking. But that's because he's trying to emulate his mother in her. So
Oh my gosh, he has
he
mommy
does, yeah.
issues. Well, we knew that,
Back
but
to the whole storing water, he also forced her to continuously store the water to keep her on the chubbier side. Yeah. That's
what?
why she is the way she looks in the palace.
This is
It's again, it's a
mind-boggling.
really, really interesting story. So she wasn't on the sail barge. She was at the palace when they all like left and then found out that shit went wrong. And so she's like, cool, I'm free now. How do I get back to civilization? She's like, I know I can last a long time in the desert, but am I gonna get there? And that's when this other character, he's a masked guard named Dolan, was like, hey, I can help you. Let's go. And Dolan is the character, like, briefly see him in return when Leia's bringing Chewie in to the palace. They end up knocking over this guard that has like this face and like tubes coming out of the mask of the thing. Yeah, so that's Dolan. So we'll probably get more into his backstory on another episode. She and Dolan take this adventure to get back a civilization to where her kids are. It was quite the adventure. Dolan has this knowledge of dragon-like beast in the desert, and they end up running into it. And luckily, he ends up killing it. But in the process of doing so, he uses up a lot of. So I'm just all over the place with this. He wears that mask because his species has to breathe this certain air. And so,
So like a
yes.
Plo Koon
Yep. And
scenario.
so,
Plo Koon. I always say
that's
Kloon.
fine. Jabba kept him in a stronghold because he kept all these canisters and like only would give him a day's worth of breathing pretty much. Right. So
My
luckily before they left,
gosh.
they did grab more of these canisters and went on this journey. But during this whole fighting of a dragon, he used a lot of them. And so when they get back civilization, he's about to keel over. She only has enough money
Oh.
for buying her kids back, or she can pay for the air supply. And she ends up paying for his air supply because she never would have gotten here without him. And so luckily when she does so, he actually like had some kind of payment and ended up she ended up getting her kids back as well. Yeah, so it was a that was a
Yeah.
happy story. And in fact, they kind of fell in love along the way. There's more
That's
description about
right.
that. And that's when they also describe her as getting slim.
Oh, that's when they fell in
Yeah.
love. Give me a break. I don't even want it. It's not even gonna go there. He's like, oh, you lost your water
Ooh, and you
weight.
got six
Ooh, and you got
titties.
6 titties. Not a fan.
But yeah, so they end up kind of getting together and going off into space. She apparently didn't name her kids before all of this happened, because I think like in her tribe they wait to name their kids. So one of the part of the story was she named her son after her dead mate, Natog. She named her two daughters Luca and Leia in honor of Luke
Ooh.
and Leia, since they kind of saved her since they killed Jabba.
Oh.
This one part of like I forget where I found it mentioned that she danced at Leia and Han's wedding.
Oh my gosh, I wonder if that's in The Princess and the Scoundrel. I don't know. I've never read that book,
Maybe
but maybe
I
it
forgot
is.
where I even found this information, but very funny. Her be like, "I'm back, guys." Like, thank you. This is on the house.
Oh my
Yeah, so like I
gosh.
thought that was like a
That's a
nice
nice
like I don't
story.
know. And I was listening to it. I was like, "Wow, this is like some good detail. Like, there's some romance. There's like some action for such."
Little
Yeah,
fatphobic, but
we're just not gonna worry about that. So, getting out of the story of it all and going back into movie mode, the concept of her, she was created in 1981. Nilo Rhodes-Jamaro was the costume designer of Return of the Jedi, and he said her six breasts were decided while under the influence of alcohol.
shocking.
So
Never would have
surprised.
thought. He's a man and decided she had six breasts while under the
Yep,
influence
that
of
checks out.
alcohol. I mean, I've thought of some crazy
A little
shit
more original than six titties. Just
while
so her six tits are foam latex prosthetics that were added to her stomach. There you go. There's that information. And then during the production, they just like in the credits, she's just known as the Fat Dancer.
Oh my
Someone
God.
found that she was known as Weeba Weeba. She didn't really have her name. Just
She was
Weeba Weeba, Fat
Weeba
Dancer.
Weeba. It's almost like Hubba
Hubba
Hubba. The Weeba Weeba. The Fat Dancer. Totally
Yeah,
terrible.
I know. The actor that played Yarna was Claire Davenport. She's a UK actress with 98 acting credits to her name. Unfortunately, I don't really know any of those acting credits, so I didn't
That's
even bother
okay.
mentioning them. She was an actor from 1962 to 1994. And then unfortunately, she passed away in 2002 from kidney failure. So I'm sorry,
Oh.
bringing the mood down with that, but I thought it was just good to know how they pass, I guess. She was casted by the director, Richard Marquand, and he worked with her on a biopic called Birth of the Beatles, in which she played a nude model.
Like
Yeah,
her.
he saw that and was like, I want to keep working with that.
Yeah.
And Richard originally imagined her as a daughter of Jabba. Glad they didn't go that route. And then, last little tidbit I have about her is our good friend's Kenner tried to design an action figure of her, but was shut down because they thought no children should be playing with a six-breasted woman. There is
Stupid.
actual mock-ups that Kenner had ready to go with her, but like, yeah, they got like,
Yeah. Now they do. They have her
in
now.
2008, Hasbro released her action figure in a legacy collection, but I just thought
It took until
Yeah,
2008.
I know.
Give
Kids
me a
can't handle
break.
six tits. That's just the facts. I'm sorry.
Except we're play we're except we're seeing it, and then all these like Twi'leks are
You're hanging out.
half naked. I mean, get over it. Okay. So our next dancer is Ristal Sant. She is the orange, kind of vibrantly colored haired dancer. Starting with her physical appearance, she is a half human, half feline female. She has neon reddish orange hair. Like some people say it's crimson. It's not. It's like a very neon hued color. She has yellow eyes and white skin with pink spots. She has three horns on each side of her head and these hooved feet. I drew a picture of Jabba's palace if it were like a Halloween party, but I never really focused on her feet so much, so I had no idea what they looked like. I remember them being big, but I had no idea. But she definitely has like unitard on. And her toe, what I'm guessing are her toenails, like stick out of the
Ew.
unitard. Just a little bit of a backstory about Thelans. We don't know a ton about them. There's obviously more legend history, but looking just at the canon history, we know that they're characterized by brightly colored hair and skin. They have skin spots, these hooved feet, and then the horns coming out of their head. Some notable Thelans, Aemos Tilian, which he was around during the High Republic era, so shout out to the High Republic people. I've only read one book, so I do not know who this is. If you want to know more about the High Republic, listen to our friends, the Bitches of Dathomir podcast, because they're the ones. And then there's also a Lats Razi. She is a bounty hunter who's amazing looking, very colorful. She was featured in the Clone Wars Season 4, Episode 20, called Bounty. And then also, this is kind of a spoiler warning if you do not like to watch trailers, because the Acolyte trailer shows a Thelan. So Daphne Keen is playing Jeki Lon, and it is said that they are
Ooh.
half Thelan. So just like Ristal is a half Thelan, half human. The showrunner Leslie Headland said that she wanted to create a Thelan because of her fondness for
Fun.
Ristal. So Ristal has
Hell
inspired
yeah.
this character. Now in Legends, the reason why there's so many half Thelans is because the species goes extinct during the Imperial era because of mutations that made them unable to reproduce with their own kind.
Whoa.
But that's a Legends thing. My own personal like headcanon, I thought I read this somewhere, but I can't remember where, is that Lats Razi, the bounty hunter, is very colorful. But if you look at Ristal and you look at Jeki Lon, the new character from Acolyte, they're white. They have like white skin, and their distinguishing colors are like in patterns on them and their hair. Well, Jeki Lon doesn't have that, but so I'm thinking that maybe the full Thelans are probably very
Right.
colorful, like Lats Razi, and then the half Thelans are not as they're colorful in very
Right.
specific spots. But that's my own that's my own thoughts. Okay, so back to Ristal. According to the Star Wars Character Encyclopedia, she has adoptive Ortolan parents. So in Legends, just to like give you a background, in Legends, her mom couldn't afford her and
Cool.
basically abandoned her. And then Ortolans raised her. But in canon, we don't know about why she was adopted by Ortolans, but she was. Then she was tricked into slavery by a lieutenant of the Black Sun criminal organization. And then she was freed, and her family were freed by Lando Calrissian. Now that's what it says in the character encyclopedia. In Legends, he won her in a card game, and then immediately freed them because he doesn't
Right,
like
that sounds
slavery.
more true to character.
Back to canon. Her Ortolan parents arranged for her to perform as a singer and dancer with the Max Rebo
Oh.
band. And then in Legends, it says that her he Max was a
See,
family friend.
I get so annoyed with the legend and canon because it's like, canon, you are just taking from legends. Like,
Well, and it's, I mean, that was one reason why everybody was pissed off when Disney bought
Right.
Lucasfilm. And so it's like, listen, I'm fine with that. It's just, I think in some scenarios, it's good to talk about Legends because it seems like its canon is taking a little bit from it. So when you have these character encyclopedias that say, for example, her adoptive parents were Ortolan. Well, that's what it says in Legends, but it doesn't say like
Right.
how they became her adoptive parents. So I just feel like it's important to say that because then you can kind of suspect what might be the case, although we don't know for sure. So whatever. Now her storyline is pretty small. She's actually in the background. Star Wars Episode Two, she's on a poster in the background in one scene. And then in Star Wars Episode Three, you can see her very briefly. She's wearing this fabulous coat. If you Google pictures of her, you can see her wearing this coat. It's pretty cool. And actually, in the character encyclopedia, it randomly says that she was given this coat by this guy and he has a name, which I can't believe this random guy who gave her a coat has a name. Whatever. But, anyways, she's not in the credits, but it's her. Okay, so obviously we see her fully in Return of the Jedi. She is a background dancer. She was added to Return of the Jedi in the 1997 extended version, right? That George Lucas went back and changed. Boba Fett and Ristol have a chin moment where he kind
Oh
of
my
like
God.
touches her chin like a in a flirtatious way. I mean, I wouldn't mind Boba Fett touching my chin, so. So obviously she was there for all the action of that scene. Then in The Mandalorian, there is the scene at the end of the credits where Boba Fett and Fennec Shand go back to Jabba's palace, right? Jabba's dead, and the really fat Bib Fortuna is sitting on the throne. And actually, you see someone who looks just like her in the background. She's obviously wearing a different outfit, but you can see her hair is like backlit by the sun. I don't know. I'm pretty sure that's her. There's obviously no credits for her, and it wasn't the original actress who did it. Now, there's very little on the actress and the development. I didn't really find anything on the development of her because I didn't find any interviews that this actress has done with anybody. Ristol is played by a Canadian actress named Mercedes Ngau. So now she is a yoga instructor in the UK and she has free yoga classes on YouTube if you would like to do yoga with a human form of Ristol. All right, that's it for
Wow, I
Ristol.
feel like some of the stuff of my two characters are gonna kind of blend in a little bit with the whole Boba Fett moment. But first, I will talk.
I was wondering if that was Lin-May. Okay, sorry.
So let's just get, I guess let's just start with Lin-May then, since it blends
Okay.
in. Lin-May is a Twi'lek, the blue Twi'lek,
Right.
right? She's blue, light blue. I think it says she's white, but she looks
It's like,
blue.
no. She's definitely blue. It's like a almost like a periwinkle, like light
I think if you
periwinkle.
look on Wikipedia, it says she's white. And I was like, no. No, thank you. So
No.
yeah, her homeworld is Ryloth. She is the dancer backup singer in Max Rebo's band. Again, most of our stuff is gonna come from Legends. So this whole thing, I found a mix of things. Like I listened to some guy talk on YouTube, and then I like found different websites that just were piecing it all together.
Little snippets.
Yeah, so I'm like, this is where we're going with this. So in Star Wars Legends, it says her home village hired Boba Fett to defeat slavers that ravaged her village. And Boba Fett saved her as a child from a burning schoolhouse. This made her
Wow.
really like look up to, and as she got older, kind of this whimsical romantic feeling of, oh, my savior. And so she had a crush and like would kind of try to follow him on the Holonews to see where he is, what is he doing. She finally got to meet Boba when he complimented her and the other dancers on their dancing skills at Jabba's palace. And she was supposed to meet with him in private later at a later point. It didn't say like when, but clearly it was supposed to be after he got back from the execution of, yeah.
In the dune seat.
So, whoopsies. So he
Whoops.
had never returned because he straight up fell in that pit, the Sarlacc pit. So, again, this is where it gets, I heard different things and read different things, but one thing said that because of that, she became vengeful and wanted to assassinate Luke and Han for,
No,
yeah. And
please.
it said she came close to assassinating them on three separate occasions, but each time they eluded her. This was, I think, on Wikipedia on the legend side of things. I don't know where that story
That's
is
funny.
personally.
It looks like it was in an insider, the who's who of the Max Rebo band. That's what the little
Yeah.
references to, and
Yeah.
but it is legends, it's not
But I
canon.
really.
Although that would be hilarious if they
Right.
had an episode of something where she tries to assassinate
Right.
him. This is for
I know.
Boba.
That's what I really liked to like pictures. Her just being super upset. And then when like Boba resurfaced years later, she gave up her vendetta and resumed following the Boba around the galaxy. It's just like, oh, okay.
Okay, so I'm confused. Okay,
Okay,
wait, I'll
yeah.
let you finish.
So that's like one side of her story. Other like side things, apparently she appears in this Star Wars game called Star Wars Demolition. I've never heard of Star Wars Demolition.
I've never heard of that. That's weird. Because you and I
Right. Like
both
when I
play
saw
video
that, I was like,
games.
what the hell? And I kind of want to play it though, because it's a combat style game.
I
So
know.
sounds
Heck
super
yeah.
fun. But so depending, it kind of sounds like a Mortal Kombat style. Yes.
Mortal Kombat. That's what
Because
I
they
thought
said,
too.
like, she is seen falling into the Rancor pit, but only if you play and win as Malak. Like,
Malakili. So it's a finish
yeah, which is
him
like
kind
a
of
takes her and
scenario.
throws her in instead. I don't know.
Oh my gosh, that's crazy.
Other speculations is that she was actually killed by Danik Jericho. He's the really big ass nose doctor guy.
Ew. Yeah.
So
Ugh.
Danik likes to drink brain matter, and so he was apparently at Jabba's palace hoping to get the chance to drink Han Solo's brain. Of course, that didn't happen, and so he was hoping that he was gonna get Jabba's brain somehow. And then, of course, that didn't
Jeez
happen.
Louise.
And so,
Can you imagine being the person who's like, I'm just going to
right,
different
yeah,
places hoping to
like
get
anyone
brains?
got some.
Oh God, that brain guy showing up to the parties hoping to get some
Who
brains.
invited him again?
Who invited the brain
Jesus.
guy?
Yeah, just making some brain soup. Yeah, so they s said that he went on a rampage of like anger from not getting any brains and killed several people. So some people were thinking that maybe one of these several people were Lin-May. So somewhere else, someone mentioned that there was a bounty on Danik, and Boba was really out to get him, and they say it was because he killed Lin-May. I rather like to think she didn't get killed, that she, right?
Oh, that's nice. Of course. I like to think none of them are killed. I still have hope for
know.
Ula.
But yeah, I like to think of her as a vengeful Twi'lek trying to. But I would also
Yeah,
would have
that's
liked to see
fun.
in the Book of Boba Fett her appear and have like romance. Maybe it's just me wanting some romance.
Well, because, okay, so do you want to talk about that? Because I thought maybe that was her in the post-credit scene.
Yeah, it could be her.
I mean, it's
Right.
obviously played by a different person, but so is Ristal, because I mean, I don't think that there's nothing I found that that actress is playing another person. But I feel like they put these characters, it's like a Golovshadow
Right.
thing, right? Oh my God, is that Ristal in the background? Is that Lin-May in the front? Is she the one? But and you just kind of question yourself. Now, some of them are really obvious, but I don't know if that's Lin-May. It'd be hard
Oh
to
yeah, that does look
say.
like Ristal back here.
Oh yeah, I mean that hair is so
Yeah,
distinctive,
that's
and
definitely.
but there are t
No. That's what's happening. That's okay. They're both still alive. I'm more sad now than that they didn't. further this possible love story.
Well, yeah, and then so what they should have done is when Boba Fett came down the stairs to take over to kill Bib Fortuna, what they should have done was like,
Right.
"Oh my gosh, it's you! I love you!" And then people would be like, "What the fuck?" Boba Fett had
Yeah,
some lovers.
definitely.
Come on, there's no
I like
way.
that. Well, what little there is again of the actor, Dalin Chu? Dalin?
Oh,
Dalin?
Don.
Dalin.
Dalin. Dalin?
Yeah.
Dalin or Dalin?
Dalin.
I say
Dalin
Dalin.
Chu was the actor, and this is where like I couldn't figure out what she does now. One thing said she's an ER nurse now, and then another nerfherderanonymous.com talked about her train valet background and that
Well, they must all have a
exactly.
dancing
So
background,
I don't know if
right? So.
after her ballet days were over, she went and became an ER nurse.
That's really
So yeah,
cool, though.
that's all we got on her. Small little tidbit. I can jump into my next one since it's short as well. Okay, so our next lady is Griata Jindawadian. So she is a Rodian from her home world of Rodia. Again, just because we got nothing, I got our height, which is 1.7 meters. Just approximately 5 foot something. So there you go. She's the one who has an orange mohawk-like hair. Well, and, oh
She's
yeah, she's
also
green.
green.
I forget, are they different colors? I guess I've seen like maybe a blue one.
I think I've seen Rodians with like a bluish,
That's
greenish
true.
hue. I definitely think if we do another Rodian, maybe we should go down that rabbit hole. But that I always do that with the species. Like I go down the
Yeah.
rabbit hole.
No, I didn't go too much of a rabbit hole because I know we have more. So,
More.
so she is again a dancer and backup singer for Max Rebo Band. She was ostracized by her family because she loved music and dancing, and apparently, Rodians aren't supposed to do that. Yeah, I know. So,
Uh-oh.
Kirsten, go away. She met Sai Snoodles aboard the Kuari Princess. You'll have to like let me know if this is right or wrong, because
Yeah, it's
okay.
a cruise ship. And this is based on the Star Wars
Right.
Encyclopedia again. It's like they've decided that some of the legend stuff is canon just by putting it in
Yeah,
the
exactly.
character thing. Yeah.
So Sai asked her to play clue horn in a concert. I should have looked up. I
I
did
have
not do good research on this. I should have looked up what the clue horn was.
There might not be anything. It might be like the cosmic egg. It's like, what is that?
We
Someone just
figured out what the
decided to put it
cosmic
in
egg
there.
is. It is the
Yeah, it's an Easter
birthing
egg. It's a birthing Easter egg.
Oh, just full of little snits
Little snits that come out
with little brown
with
shorts on.
shorts off. Focus.
So we know Sai became the lead singer of the Max Rebo Band, but they said Griata was only a dancer per diem basis. So I feel bad for her.
Wow. In some places, they said that Sai Snoodles would only perform if they
Oh,
also
okay.
hired
I like
her.
that. Get it.
So it was like
Girl
a,
power.
girl power.
And then the one cool thing was that after Jabba's death, she was able to help the band stay alive using her survival skills that she learned in Rodian school. Because, again, Rodians aren't supposed to enjoy
Wow.
the arts and music, apparently. They're just supposed to be good at surviving.
Survivors? Okay, we definitely need to do a deep dive
But again,
next
yeah, I
time.
have no idea if any of this is a reliable source. I use theforce.net. Give me information.
Listen, when you Google someone and there's very little, you try to
You
find
dig
as much
and
as
you
you can.
dig. So the actor who played her was Celia Fuschel Burke. That's where I'm going with. She
Sweet
only
for you.
has two film acting credits, one being Return of the Jedi. But she does have 13 years of experience being in a ballet former with 113 roles of ballet theater, performing mostly in San Francisco. And she retired from
Dang.
ballet at the age of 43.
Wow, that's a pretty good
Right?
career for a
Yeah.
ballet dancer.
So yeah, that's what
Wow,
we
wow,
got research.
wow. Okay, so this one's a little bit longer because we all know her. And so we're going to talk about Ula. Ula is the first Twi'lek ever to appear in Star Wars. So she is a Twi'lek female from Ryloth. She was born to a chieftain of a small primitive clan, and she's, because we always talk about this, she's 5'3". She got green skin.
It's important.
I went down a little bit of a rabbit hole with Twi'leks because I realized, I mean, you know about them, but you don't
Right.
know about them, right? So the obviously the Twi'lek home planet is in the Outer Rim, which is where everything happens. Everything happens in the Outer Rim. They have a wide variety of colors and are super prevalent in the galaxy. It was interesting when I was doing research on this, they always compare them with the Trotugas, which is Ahsoka's species, because they're very rare, but Twi'leks are very abundant. And they have two appendages that protrude from their heads, and they're called Leku. Most of them have two appendages. Some of them have four. Most of the males have ears with lobes, but some have the cones, like the females, and all the females have cones. This part I thought was funny. They have a higher body temperature, which I think is the reason that they give for why they're so scantily clad. I mean, they would say that, right? I'm like, oh, they're just,
We have to
they have
be
a
half
high body
naked.
temperature. And apparently,
It's
we have to be
hot.
half naked. Apparently, the high body temperature increases when they're afraid,
So their clothes just
like
fall
get
off when
warmer.
they're scared.
They, that's what happened. Never mind. I was gonna say, that's what happens when I drink. I'm really warm and I start taking
So you
things
can
off.
relate.
Oh, I can relate. They speak Twi'leki, and it's verbal sounds, but also they use their Leku for sign language,
Do
which
they?
I had no idea. So like you can look online, they some I don't know where the resources are from, so that's why I didn't want to get into it, but basically like if you cross your Leku twice, it means I love you. And then you can also like hit people with your that means something. And also like a subtle movement one way or the other means something as well. So apparently it's like a sign like it's like a subtlety
So they
of
do
movement
have
with the
like
Leku.
control over it.
Yeah, because they said that sometimes people can like pick things up with them. But I think it's not, I feel like it's not a normal thing, but I don't know. I didn't look too much into it because I was like, I can't go too far
Like
into
we've
this because
never seen that
we might
like in
wanna.
any of the like at least I get why we
Yeah.
don't see it in live action, but like animation
I
wise.
feel like in one of the I feel like in one of the animated Clone Wars episodes, one person takes their Leku and touches someone with it. But maybe I'm
I feel like if we
imagining
would have
that.
seen it,
I
it would
don't
have been
know.
in Rebels since we.
Yeah. Anyways, they're obviously they're really beautiful, the female Twi'leks, and they're often sold into slavery. So yeah. This is a side note that I saw. I can't remember where, so I feel bad for not citing the source, but apparently Dave Filoni and others recognized that they were highly sexualized in Star Wars. So they tried to create Twi'leks that are less sexualized, although pretty much any female and so become sexualized at some point. So Dave Filoni created Hera, which we know from Rebels, Hera Syndulla, to show Twi'leks in a better, less
Hit it.
sexualized
She got
light.
clothes. She got
So
all the
I
clothes.
like that. She has
She's never
clothes.
scared.
I know, right? Okay, so this is her storyline. So according to, it's a novelization of Return of the Jedi, a novel adaptation, I should say, by Tom Engelberger. It's called Return of the Jedi, Beware the Power of the Dark Side. And this is where we kind of get her background. Like I said, she was born to a chieftain of a small primitive clan. She trained in sensual dancing, which I guess one does. It says, but a rival betrayed her. Now, this is from Wikipedia. So I haven't read this book, and I tried to find more information about this, but couldn't. So I think it's a book that I should try to read. I didn't even know it existed. And apparently Bib Fortuna convinced Ula to come with him to Jabba's palace by telling her it was this glamorous place and there were lots of riches and glories awaiting her there. And then he ended up presenting her
Oh,
as
what
a
a
gift for
dick.
Jabba. Yeah, I know. In the Legends version, before she was presented to Jabba, and I thought this was really interesting, before she was presented to Jabba, she and another Twi'lek were actually both kidnapped, and she runs into Luke Skywalker, who attempts to rescue her and this other Twi'lek that was with her. And the friend goes with Luke, but Ula doesn't trust him, and she believes Bib Fortuna that there are like
No.
riches and glory
Oh,
awaiting
so
her. Yeah.
sad.
So, but in canon, they took that out. Now, they did mention in canon, and I think if I remember correctly, it was the Star Wars Encyclopedia, but they mentioned that someone did try to get her to come with them and rescue her from Bib Fortuna before she got to Jabba's palace. But no one said anything about Luke Skywalker, so. And then, as shown in Return of the Jedi, she's like chained to his throne. And Jabba particularly liked Ula, like in a sexual way. Like, she never gave in to him. And I have to say, like, I really like Jabba. Obviously, he's a villain. But when I was a kid, so I really liked Jabba when I was a kid, but I didn't know the, obviously, the
Nature.
sexual undertone of that scene. I thought he was trying to like eat her face, like, and not in a sexy way, in a disgusting way, like in an
Right,
actual
no,
food
I
way.
feel like that is,
Either way, it was
yeah,
disgusting,
like
but you know what
she
I
is a
meant. Like,
snack.
yeah, she's a snack. I didn't know it was like had like a sexual undertone when I was a kid, and so it's kind of gross for me. Block that out. But he's a villain, guys. He's a villain slug. Like, he's a disgusting dude. I get it. I know. As I like dress up as him for okay. So from a certain point of view, Return of the Jedi, the Dune Sea Songs of Salt and Moonlight by Thea Guanzin. We're not gonna talk about this because we're gonna talk about Jess later. This is from the point of view of Jess, who's this human female in the background. She's seen a lot with Bib Fortuna, so we're not going to talk about it, but I do want to mention that she and Ula are friends and they go and visit Han Solo while he's in Carbonite, and Ula talks about how handsome he is, except for like the fact that he's screaming. It's like he'd
They
be
would
more
just shut
handsome if he
up.
wasn't screaming because of the Carbonite. Like, it's like, come on. Come on, Han, you're being lowered into the
Smile,
Carbonite. Just like
sweetie.
smile, you know? Give me this. I thought that part was kind of funny. And then in Return of the Jedi, obviously in the original movie, you see Ula dancing to Lopty Neck. Jabba pulls her closer, and according to the actress who plays her, which I'll talk about later, Jabba is saying, "Come and kiss me," and Ula says, "No, don't kill me." But I haven't been able to confirm that that's the Hutties translation, so I don't know if there is any. You do see her falling into the trapdoor below Jabba's throne room. You hear her screaming, but you don't see anything else. And that's the original one. And actually, this is kind of, I don't know why I put this in here, but there was like I'm just like really interested in their costumes, right? Like, she's wearing nothing, and she has this like this mesh thing, black thing over her. And I'm just like, what did they do? Did they like paint her nipple and then just like let it free ball in the air? Did they cover it with something? It's so crazy. But actually, in Return of the Jedi, there is a wardrobe malfunction when he brings her closer. Her boob pops out from behind the net, which like the net's not covering anything anyways. And It looks like they digitally like scrubbed out, but in other scenes you see it. So I'm just like, did they just paint it? Like that's so risque. Or do they put like some sort of like
I'm sure they just, I don't know
cover
what they had
over
back
it?
then, but I mean, they got little nipple covers, like little pasties.
Yeah, but it wasn't
Oh,
flat. Like you could see a nipple.
Just slap on
It's
some paint.
so weird to me. Like, yes, put on a cover for that
Nah, this was
poor
the
woman.
80s, baby.
Oh my gosh. Anyway, so that was just something. I know that that might not interest a lot of people, but I think it's crazy what they would ask
Yeah.
people to do.
I mean, Carrie Fisher had to run around
Like
without a
cover
bra
it
on.
with no bra on. Come on. That's so mean. So in the 1997 edition, Ula actually they reshot new scenes, I should say. And Ula tumbles into the Rancor pit, looks up, she's terrified. And but you actually don't see her die. So she's probably not dead. Because there are people we
They're
actually
not
see
dead.
die and they're not
Only
dead.
makes sense.
So only makes sense. Like give me some things I want. Okay, so from Return of the Jedi, a certain point of view, the Chronicler, I don't want to get too much into that one either because it might come up later, but this person who writes down and interviewed numerous Alliance members to like give their stories. Her name is Dora Maar, and she interviews Leia, and Leia tells her about Ula and Jess because she wants
Oh,
them to be remembered.
that's so
I know.
sad.
So they become part of the
Ugh.
history of it.
God damn it, Leia.
So anyways, I know. Pulling at my heartstrings. But they're
Yeah,
all alive,
they're all
so I don't
fine.
know what she's
Bye-bye.
talking about. Anyways. So the actor that plays Ula is Femi Taylor. She's very well known. Like she's done lots and lots of interviews. She's been at conventions and stuff. She seems very nice. She is Nigerian born, but she's a British actor. She is a dancer and trained with various dance companies. She was in the original cast of
Ooh.
Cats, and that's when she got the audition for Star Wars, although she did not know what it was for. They only asked her to come in to the audition in a
Oh,
bikini.
eBay. That,
wasn't until
no.
It wasn't until she changed afterwards and she overheard someone say that it was a Star Wars movie. So, yeah. And then in an interview with TheForce.net, Femi said that originally Ula had a larger role and she wasn't meant to die, but during the actual filming, they improvised her falling into the Rancor pit. And so she realized that her character was dying. And then when George Lucas wanted to remaster the movie and add scenes to it in 1987, they found her. And even though there was a 15-year gap in time, she looked exactly
Of
the same.
course, beautiful, just a
Yeah.
beautiful, beautiful woman.
Beautiful. And then she even wore the original costume.
Damn.
Yeah. She's a dancer, so
Good for her.
she's dancing
Just
her. Yeah, good for her.
dancing her whole life.
That's her little ass off. Then they added the additional scenes of Ula facing the Rancor. And then just as a funny side note, the minifig of Ula has two faces. There's a happy face and a terrified face.
Oh.
And you can switch between it. And then the original concept maquettes of Ula, one had blue skin, and then later it was like red skin with white hair. And then in an interview that Femi did, she said it took 4 layers of paint and 4 hours for her to dress as Ula.
Oh.
And her leku were made from foam latex, which always interests me because I want to make some leku at one point. And then just as a side note, because this is incredibly important to me, she said in an interview that she preferred lopty neck.
Yes, straight from the dancer's mouth.
Yes. Forget you, Jedi Rocks.
Yeah, I guess she didn't really have to redance to the song, though, did she?
No, they just added the scenes with like everybody.
But I wonder if she was like trying to like while watching it, maybe did she rewatch it? Who knows? I'd like to think she rewatched it and was like, no, this would not go with those dance moves I was doing.
It's funny because she goes, you know, it's funny with these actors because they're not invested like we are, right? Like some of them really like Star Wars, right? But some of them are just like, you know, it was just a job.
Like this ER nurse.
Like Carl Weathers said that. Carl Weathers said that, the thing. He was just like, I'm just here for the paycheck because we're all asking him like philosophical questions about rest in peace. Anyways.
It's a healthy way to be about a job, though. Like,
Oh, sure. You're just, but could you imagine being a part of something like Star Wars and having these people like ask you questions about a role that you played that was like 5 minutes long,
I
and
could not.
you now have like merchandise about you, and there's Lego minifigs, and people are making podcasts about your episodes about your character. Like, how crazy. But she said, she's like, I love Star Wars and appreciate it, but I'm not obsessed. Not obsessed with it. And I was like, good for you. I wish sometimes, or at least my wallet does,
Like, please
wasn't
stop.
obsessed.
You don't need more stuff.
You don't need it. Ooh. Okay. Well, anyways, those are the five ladies that we decided to focus on for this episode.
Which one was your favorite?
I really have a soft spot for Ula. I think growing up, I felt so bad for her when I was a kid. And then Ristal, I think is really cool. But I also like Yharnam. Like
I
Yharnam's,
appreciate Yharnam now more.
she's, yeah, she's so cool looking. And I remember her when I was a kid too. You don't forget
The fat dancers and six tits.
six boobies.
No, I
Yeah.
really,
What about
yeah, I think
you?
that after doing all this research, I appreciate Yharnam's character more. And I have a greater interest in Lin-Mei, and like she could have so much more done with her backstory.
I know. I really like that Boba Fett thing.
Yeah, when I read that, I was like, damn, why couldn't we expand more on
Like I
this?
said, I just like her, like the idea of her attempting all these assassinations and being like, this is for
Yeah,
Boba,
just like,
and like
yeah,
trying to kill
like
them.
dance fighting.
Like she's so acrobatic, you know, she could probably be like, she'd probably be a cool
I know.
assassin.
I should have looked for fanfic about her.
I mean, all of these ladies are very interesting to me because I don't like just like normal looking characters. Like I love Leia, like love Leia, but she's kind of like, I'm not really into that. Like I'm into the weird looking characters. I like them to be something other than just like a human. So I really like all their looks, and I kind of wish they were wearing more clothes.
Yeah, just a little something more.
Just so that I could like feel better about it. About
Well,
it,
Ristal has like a
but
jumpsuit at least.
yeah, Ristal is fine, but I mean Lin-May, and
I know.
I think obviously the person who plays Greata, I think it's like a suit kind of on
Yeah, I
her,
know.
but I'm not
I should have looked
sure.
more into her costume.
I mean, if you could
I know,
find
I
it,
think that's the
right?
main thing.
Yeah, I didn't find anything on the costumes for Ristal, and then Ula, all they did was talk about that she was wearing this like really. I'm just really curious as to how they put it all together. For
Paint
real, man.
and tape, that's all they did.
Well, I don't think Ula had tape. That's
Oh, that's
why,
true.
you know,
That's why her
that's why a boobie flew out.
just popped on out. Oh, man.
But I mean, like, the costumes are really interesting. It's just like Greata's is so cool. I like the colors. Like, I like how colorful they are. I think they're really cute. I think I'm gonna draw them.
Yeah, give them some more tasteful.
Maybe line some of the clothing. I dressed him up for, to go back to the Jabba's Halloween party that I drew. I dressed them up as Dathomirian witches
Oh, cute.
for Jabba's Halloween party.
So,
And they look so
so
cute. So
cute. Okay. Well, those were our ladies.
So as always, thank you so much for joining us for another episode of Rise of the Glub Shitto. If you are enjoying what we're doing, be sure to follow and interact with us on Instagram at Rise of the Glub Shitto and rate us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen.
Next episode, we're doing Sweet, Sweet Crumb, Salacious Crumb.
Oh, my other one. I love him.
So that'll be fun.
I will not be doing the laugh, but you, Brittany, you can do it.
I feel like when I try to do it, it's too high pitch for the mic to to pick up.
No, we have to hear it. I can't wait.
Okay, and with that,
all right.
May the force be with you.
And also with you.
Bye.
I don't know if I like
I
that.
I love it. I love it. I love it. Oh, I was just talking.